Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Dr. John McIntosh of Kansas City Christian Faith Center, and we are together again. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And we will read our foundational scripture we are using for this teaching on the meaning of faith. The meaning of faith. So if you found Hebrews 11, we will read verse number 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. Paul the apostle is explaining to us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this informs us, and it should you also, that in order to please our Heavenly Father, we must have faith. Otherwise, it is impossible to please him. And just like we, when we were little children, and we wanted to please our mother and father, our natural parents here on earth, we should even more so want to please our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. Now let's look at this verse before we continue. And it says a couple of things that I think that is interesting and we should observe. First, it says, those who come to him, God, must believe that he is. It said, must believe that he is. So you can't not come to him and think he's somebody other than who he says he is. And then it says that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. So we see a three-point commandment or statement that the Apostle Paul is telling us. Number one, we must have faith. Number two, we must believe that he is who he says he is. And number three, God rewards those who diligently seek him. God is looking for people who are going to be obedient to his word and are going to do the things that are pleasing to him by faith. Amen? Because the scripture says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. Now, please go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And we will look at a familiar passage that will share some light, I believe, on our understanding of faith. That's Romans, chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 17. And it says, "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's read this again. It says, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now let's look at a couple of things here. It says, for in it. So what is the in it? The in it is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It says, for in it, what? The gospel. The righteousness of God, or those that have been declared righteous, is revealed from faith to faith. So that let us know that we can go from different levels or different degrees of faith, because it says from faith to faith. I mean, you know, if you start off, you're going to be very at small faith. You're not going to stay at small faith, are you? Your faith should increase as you study the Word of God. So we can go, again, from different levels or degrees of faith, which is manifested in our lives by those who diligently seek Him. Now, please go to your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And it says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. For the just, or those who have been declared righteous, shall live by his faith. Now finally, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read one verse, and that's verse 38. You found it? All right. And it says this. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now the common thread between these three verses, I believe, is the two words live by. It says the just are those that have been declared righteous. That's what justification or just means. It says shall live by their faith. So we are instructed by the word to live our lives by faith. Now let me give you an analogy to bring to light what the word is telling us. So think with me for a moment. Let me ask you a question. How often do you brush your teeth? Do you brush your teeth on Monday morning and don't brush your teeth again until the following Monday morning? Well, I brush my teeth several times a day. I brush it in the morning when I awake in the morning. I brush my teeth after meals. And I brush my teeth just before I retire at night. So I usually brush my teeth about three times a day. And I'm sure some of you probably do the same. So what I'm saying is, your personal hygiene should be important to you. You would not brush your teeth one day and don't brush it again till the following week. Otherwise, I don't want you talking to me, because your personal hygiene is not up to the standard. So just like you brush your teeth every day, it is a lifestyle with you. So same should be your faith lifestyle. You should live your every day by faith. It says the just shall live. He didn't say sometimes. He says shall live by faith. Amen. So then in accordance to what the word tells us, you should live your life by faith. Now, our definition, and since I'm teaching this particular teaching, the definition I'll be using for this teaching on faith is this. Faith is acting on what you believe. Let me repeat that again. Faith is acting on what you believe. Now, you're not going to find this definition not in the Strong's Concordance or any Vine's meaning dictionary. This is my meaning of faith. Faith is acting on what you believe. You have to have corresponding action to your belief. If you do not act on it, though you believe it is true, it will not change your circumstances. Believing something will never change your circumstances, but faith will change your circumstances. And faith is acting on what you believe. Believing is where you start. It's kind of like a race. Have you ever been to a track meet or watched the Olympics? And when they run the 100 or any other type of race, where everybody starts at the beginning of the race. And so that's where they start. They don't start at the 50-yard line. No, they start at the beginning. So you have to start somewhere with your faith level. And that beginning is belief. Belief and faith are two sides of the same coin. And we must understand that. And faith is acting on what you believe. Believing again is where you start. But if all you do is believe, there will be no life-changing results forthcoming. That is why so many Christians throughout the years have been destroyed by Satan. We, as a body, as the church, must understand how we walk by faith. And a lot of people are being deceived, thinking they're in faith, but they're in foolishness or presumption. Remember, your faith requires action. You have to seek it. You are going to have to do something, and that something is action. Faith is acting on what you believe. Now let's look at a couple of events in the Bible that required action to them on the part of the individual's faith involved. Now please go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to look at a very familiar passage, a passage that's a very good passage and been preached on by many preachers, and it's a good passage to preach on. Okay, that's Matthew 8, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 10. You follow along as I read. Verse 5, it says, "Now when Jesus has entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him." Verse 6, "saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Verse 7, "And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him." Verse 8, "The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." Number 9, "For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servants, do this, and they does it." Jesus called it great faith. Verse 10, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Amen. Remember, authority must be exercised. Now, Jesus called what the centurion displayed great faith. So the optimum word here is great faith. Now, think with me for a moment, and let's break down the faith in action in these verses. In verse number 5, it says, "A centurion came to Jesus." Now, that's very interesting. It says, "Now when Jesus has entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him." Action. So the centurion came. That's action. Remember, faith is acting on what you believe. Now, I submit to you that the centurion must have heard about the signs and wonders and the healings that was taking place that Jesus was doing throughout the region. Otherwise, how did he know what he was doing? Or how did he know, or how did he believe that Jesus could heal his servant? He had to hear what he heard about Jesus and what Jesus was doing in the region. So he heard it and he came. He believed what he had heard and he came to Jesus. Action. Amen. And then verse number 6, it says this. It says, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. The servant, or the centurion, excuse me, spoke to Jesus. Action. You don't have faith unless you have corresponding action. If he had said nothing to Jesus, nothing never would have happened, and Jesus never would have known about his servant. But because his action of speaking to Jesus, his faith was put into action, and Jesus heard the request from the centurion. Verse number 7, it says, then in verse 7, we see Jesus himself applying faith by telling the centurion, I will come and heal him. Jesus showed action by telling the centurion, he will come. Action. He didn't have faith unless action is applied to it. All you would have is belief if you never act on it. You don't have faith unless action is applied to it. Amen? Now, verse number 13, it says, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so it will be done to you. So Jesus told him, as you have believed, so let it be done to you. Remember, it all started with the centurion believing and then putting what he believed into action, which Jesus called great faith. Amen? So faith was activated by the centurion doing what? Doing something, not just believing something. If the centurion had just believed that Jesus could heal his servant and yet never came to Jesus and appealed to him, his servant would have not been healed. Matter of fact, there's a good chance his servant might have died. And yet, what he believed about Jesus, that Jesus could heal, because he had heard about all the signs and wonders and miracles and healing that he was doing, if he had never appealed to Jesus, if he had never came to Jesus, even though what he believed about Jesus was true, it never would have affected his servant's condition because he did not put his belief into action. Amen. Do you understand the process? I mean, it's very simple, but you have to understand it because this is what we have to understand in order to please our Heavenly Father. Remember, we read our foundation of Scripture. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. All right, let's turn to another familiar passage, I believe, that will also enlighten us on our faith and encourage us to understand faith more clearly in relation to belief. And that is in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. And we will begin with verse number 23 to 26. And it says, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. Now, before we get started, what kind of tempest arose? It says a great tempest, not just a small wave, a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. Amen. But Jesus, he was asleep. Verse number 25. It says, then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Verse 26, but he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Interesting. He says, O you of little faith. Now, wait a minute and think with me for a moment. Now, if faith was just believing that the storm would stop and go away, that would be all they would have had to done was just believe. Am I correct? But no, they did something else. I am correct that if all they had to do was believe to save them, why did they disturb Jesus? But notice the last part of verse number 26 carefully. It says, 26, it says, then he, Jesus, arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Not just a calm, but it was a great calm there at the sea. And so we had to understand what was going on here. It was a great calm at the sea. And so this is what was going on there. It was a great calm after Jesus spoke. Now notice that there was no calm until Jesus arose and did something. So when he talked to them about their faith, he was talking about action. He said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? He was referring to an action, not just believing. So if all the disciples had to do was believe, and if all that faith meant was belief, then Jesus would not have to gotten up from his sleep. He could have continued been sleeping, but no, they disturbed him and woke him up so he could save them. He could have just believed. The Bible says he arose, but he did not just arise and look at the storm. He arose and did something. He rebuked it. He did just not rebuke the waves and the sea. He especially rebuked the wind and the sea. He did both. Amen. The disciples reacted to fear. What was the disciples' little faith? Their little faith was doing nothing except reacting to the circumstances instead of responding to the circumstances. And that's what a lot of you do today. You react to the circumstances instead of responding to the circumstances. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So we are able to respond to the circumstances by faith. Amen. That's what we're able to do. We've been given the authority to do that. Amen. So the disciples, they reacted in fear. Jesus responded in faith. Amen. They acted in fear, but Jesus responded in faith. Jesus not only believed what God was going to do something about the storm. In fact, God did nothing about the storm. He did nothing. Jesus did. He was the one that did something about the storm. He is the one who did something. The scripture says that he arose from his sleep. That's action. When you get up from sleep, that's action. So he did something. It says, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm upon the sea. A great calm. So that means everything got real quiet because the man had just spoke. Jesus had just said something. I want you to understand that what Jesus did was action. And Jesus is our example. And so what he does, we can do. What he does, we can do. And we have to understand that. We have the same authority as Jesus. Remember, he says, the works that I do, he says, you will do even greater than me because I go to my Father. So if Jesus can rebuke the winds and the sea, then you ought to be able to rebuke the winds and the sea. Amen. He tied it to faith. He said, O you of little faith, if things have been left in the disciples' hands, if they've left them in those, they never would have got off the sea. Because, again, they reacted in fear instead of responding in faith. And so that boat would have sunk because they were not responding. They were reacting. Amen? And when you're dealing with faith, you have to definitely respond. And you have to respond in faith. Well, you know what? My clock on the wall tells me that I am just about out of time. But please return to us next week where we continue our teaching on the meaning of faith. And we hope to see you next week. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it simply tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.